Turtle Poultry. Fowl in the Blood. Just got. Like clouds will run over or something. Just got dark in here. I walked out outside the street. It was all good and sunny, shiny, and
and it's foggy. I'm
starting to be cool a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
I am too. Yeah, it is.
Is it already going?
Yeah, I think so. All right, you ready? All right, well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and good to have this wonderful weather. Hopefully it starts getting cool, like they say. Let's go ahead and stand and turn to page 23. There's power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you an evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for our cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be water, much water than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's things are lost in this life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily as praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Brother Stephen, you might open some prayer this morning.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to really come to your house this morning, Lord, to be able to sing praises unto you, Lord, and be able to hear you preaching your word, Lord, Lord. And I pray that you would prepare our hearts now for the message you have for us, Lord, and what fall upon deaf ears or hardened hearts, Lord. I pray that you would do a mighty work among us today, Lord. We just beg for your presence among us, Lord.
Yes.
I pray that for those that are sick and not able to be with us today, Lord, I pray that you just touch them. Heal them from their infirmities, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, we just long for what you have for us today, Father. Just do a mighty work. I pray you God want to touch our past, Lord, fill them with anointing with your presence and power, Lord. And just use them for your honor and glory, God. And just, I thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. All right, let's turn to page 215. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
Page 215. wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Sad is the spelling, with joy I am telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit from life from above, in God's family divine. Just by glory through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Just as the offer of grace he did proper, he saved me, oh, praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I have hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believed, whispered eternal and blessing supernal from His precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen.
Well, what a blessing it is to be here today. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for technology, amen, and lack of memory. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you put the two together and you've got trouble. Amen. I forgot to put the YouTube on. And because we don't have 1,000 subscribers, I cannot just push a button and go live. And even when I use the third party, if I don't have something already there, the people that are watching on YouTube for live won't get it then. It just kind of gets hidden until I'm done, and then all of a sudden it says we're live and we're not. Anyway. When you forget to put that on, and then you can't get the phone to link to the computer in the office so that you can have internet, it's even more trouble. So then you go, I've got to run to the house, and praise the Lord, we live 2 miles away, and I didn't really run, I took the car. Amen. And otherwise, I'd still be out of breath. Amen. But I'm thankful that everything's up. I seen Sister Kathy was online, and thankful for that. I do praise the Lord for the safety that He's given us thus far. Do watch. Of course, media has driven it. There's going to be there's going to be an incline of cases. I've definitely been counting numbers, and sure, you see it on there. Once again, you don't know how much of it's real, how much of it's not. I do know that there's people around us that are getting it, and just be careful. Pray that God would continue to keep us safe through it. I do want you to understand the uncertainty. I'm not telling you to run out there and buy everything up. But may I tell you that January 21st is very likely that we will be locked down. And maybe not 21st, but by the 22nd. That's already the drive. That's already what President-elect Biden's health secretary is advising him is lock the country back down. And so just be don't get caught off guard. Be wise. And it would be okay to say, all right, I don't need to do something. Don't do it, because you don't know what's coming next. Amen. We are in a very scary time right now. That the government is out of whack. Everything is out of place and very scared. The checks and balances that was originally placed in America are being undermined right now. And it scares me. And so do pray for our country and continue to be wise with your decisions, because there are going to be some changes that come up. Everyone loves change. Everyone loves to administer change. No one likes going through the change. Amen. And so be wise with it. I do ask you to promote the YouTube. It might be, I would have never guessed that there'd be so many people that would watch service instead of being in the house of God. But we're in that time, are we not? I mean, we still have services online. We still have some. It's not safe to come back. And listen, I understand. But help promote it. It sure would be nice to push a button. It's not because I want the church to get money. On our website, we have the opportunity that I can push to where people can donate to the website. And I don't have that button to where they can push it. I don't believe that that's where God gets the funds. It's not from the outside, it's from the inside. Amen. And God provides it to the church, and the church continues to work through it. And so we're not going to have a bake sale. And I'm not trying to get money from YouTube. I just want a little bit of convenience. Amen. I know you're going to say, preacher, it's not all about you. It's not all about convenience. I get it, but it would be nice. Amen. And so do pray for Sister Kathy as well. She's not here with us. She's going through some health issues. Do keep her in prayer. And she's online. She's very faithful. She, in fact, as soon as I turned it on and it came on, she said she was present and accounted for and ready to hear from the Word of God. And so do keep her in prayer right now, just having some time. And it sure is good to see everyone, and thankful for what the Lord's doing. Amen. Well, Brother James is having a birthday on Saturday. He's really only going to be 77. Man. Isn't that correct?
I think that's what they
said. All right, 77, right?
Yeah.
Well, now, by the time Saturday gets here, he's going to tell us that he's almost 78. All right, so.
Back up on me. I think Eager and some of the kids were there yesterday. Or all our kids were there yesterday. But anyway, one of them said your birthday is Saturday. And it didn't dawn on me
that's
Saturday.
That's right. That's right.
I just hadn't thought about
that's
it.
That's right.
I don't dwell on it. But I thank the Lord, He's given me all these years.
Amen. Amen. And given, Brother James has definitely, as much as he's got some issues and his health-wise, he's definitely hurting and feels some pain, I'm thankful for what he's able to do.
Amen.
And God has definitely touched and blessed them. And listen, I'm thankful that God has helped them the way that He has this year. And it's been a good year.
Sure has.
It's been a good year.
Really good.
And I'm thankful. Brother James is definitely one of those. I would consider him to be my Aaron or my her that comes up and lifts my arms. He's the one that always holds me up. And I'm thankful for Brother James and his faithfulness to this church, his love for the Lord, and his love for me and my family. And my boys have definitely looked at him as a grandpa that's right here in the church. And I'm thankful for our church family. But Brother James is definitely special to me. Him and Sister Edra have taken us under their wing and loved on us. And we sure love them. And so we're going to sing happy birthday to him. And you're going to have to help me now, because I've kind of teared up. So you're going to have to help me. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. I am thankful for Brother James and Sister Edra. What a blessing they are to us.
Amen.
Thankful for their faithfulness to the church and faithfulness to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I believe that. Oh, if you want. Now listen, speaking about faithful, we went and seen Brother Johnny and Sister Hazel. They're all concerned about you. They said hello. We've already given some out. But listen, if you want some, now those are wild grapefruit. Don't think that they're lemons. You're going to bite into it and go, okay, that's not really a lemon. That is really wild grapefruit. And you can eat it just like a not wild grapefruit. Amen. But They are wild grapefruit. So if you'd like some, grapefruit juice is good too. You can, I mean, you know, say, preacher, that takes more sugar than lemonade. But it's okay. It's all right. And some of you look like you've been eating them already. All right. All sour-faced and amen. But good thing. I was already thinking about this. Normally on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and we haven't discussed it if we want it on Wednesday or if we want it on Tuesday. But nonetheless, we normally have a Thanksgiving service to where we all are just talk about what we're thankful for. And I was thinking I could bring the YouTube camera out and we could zoom in on everyone and have it where you realize I won't have anyone here for service. They're all like, we're going to be on YouTube that night. Brother Jeff, I think it's safe. Amen. But Brother Johnny and Sister Hazel have sent those. And so if you want some, also I believe that there's some pecans back there, pecans, I don't care what you call them. And there's some back there if you'd like some as well. And what a blessing it was to get to spend some time with them and love them. And sure miss the church, miss y'all, and pray for their safety. You realize with the uncertainty that you have to do what you feel is right for your family. Amen. And so do keep them in prayer. And well, thankful for it. Brother, you got another song? Amen. Let's sing another song.
All right. Everybody stand and turn to page 183. Brother Jeff was talking about sour faces. This is one that shouldn't be singing with a sour face.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Page 183.
This is the name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set us free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It tells me of my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, His sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who in His sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus, because He first loved me.
Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. Well, what a blessing. Thankful for the rain, and I must be honest, I'm thankful it stopped. Amen. You'd walk out in our backyard and you'd sink down to your ankles, and I went and grabbed my mud boots, and mud boots are kind of one of those things that you just don't wear unless you need them. I don't think they're fashionable. I don't even think they're fun to wear. They're not comfortable. Well, but I'd much rather just wear regular shoes. Kind of hot, your feet don't really breathe. And, I went to grab them, And we're like most folks, or at least most folks that I know, we keep them outside. And we keep them, I try to keep them upside down
so that you don't have, you know, they do fill up. As much as they'll keep rain out, they'll keep rain in too. And I went to grab mine and was going to take care of the animals because they, even if it's raining, they want fed and water. Amen. They're getting water out of the sky. Just turn your beaks up and eat or drink. Amen. But no, they need food and water and taking care of them. And went to get my mud boots. And I found that there was more critters that had found a home in those mud boots than I cared to know. And so I was like, well, let me clean those out before I even think about putting them on. I just put on some shoes and let them get wet. Amen. But I am thankful. I'm not complaining. We needed the rain. Boy, I tell you, God knows exactly what we need when we need it. And He's still good. Even in 2020, everyone's talking about, boy, they can't wait for 2020 to be over. And may I tell you, they're about to get their wish. It's almost over, amen? But I'm afraid what 2021 has in store. And I know who's still going to be God in 2021. And that's all I'm going to rely on, and I hope you will too. Luke chapter 15, if you would. Luke 15. Luke chapter number 15. I'd like to preach a passage here, and I'm actually going to preach it Sunday morning, Sunday night. And I know you're like, boy, what a shock. Preacher usually goes back there Sunday night to the same text. But it's really just going to be a continuation. And you say, preacher, why is that? Well, because I already preached long. And I didn't think that you needed two services worth in one service. Amen. And so I'm going to break it up. And we're going to look at the two boys here. And Luke 15, we're going to start off in verse number 11. So when you get there, Luke 15 and verse number 11, we're going to start reading here. And I'm only going to read the first son as the prodigal goes out, gets from the father, goes out, wastes it, comes back home. And that's what we're going to preach tonight or this morning. And then tonight, Lord willing, now if the rapture takes place, don't look for me. Amen. And the rapture takes place, I'm not going to be preaching this. But if it doesn't, and the Lord will, I'll preach the older son tonight. But I want us to look at these two boys. And I want us to look at a condition that they have that's plaguing, I wouldn't just say Americans. I wouldn't even just say the world. I would really specifically say the church. And we find here a condition that they have that could be easily seen in both. Luke 15, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and his shoes, and shoes on his feet. And verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. And for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. Lord, thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us, Lord. Thank You for Your Word that we can come. And Lord, know Your will, know Your heart. And Father, I pray You'd help us today, that we'd be honest with You. As we examine these two boys in this day, Lord, Father, I pray that You would help us to see our similarities. And Lord, that we would set ourselves apart from them. And Lord, that we would come to that place where we desire to be at the Father's house. And Lord, to have that closest fellowship with You that we can have. And Lord, have that love that we need to have for You. And Lord, we just sang, oh, how I love Jesus. And Lord, I'm thankful for Your love for us. And it's Your love that has drew us to You. And Lord, I pray that we would just look out today. Look out and see Your will, but then look in and see our following and our desires, Lord. And Father, have Your will and way in our heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture. In fact, if we were to look at Luke 15, we would understand that Jesus is speaking a parable. A parable, of course, is a story, a cast alongside the truth. And it's basically an illustration. He's given them, and he's explaining it in layman's terms, is what we'd really call it today. He was trying to break it down so that they would understand what's going on. He starts out in Luke chapter number 15, and he starts out and he's speaking or giving them the illustration of the sheep. And he's telling them that there's one that would own 100 sheep, and he has 99 with him, and one has strayed away. That those 99 he would leave there in that secure place, and he would search for that one that's not where they're supposed to be. And he goes on and he says, past the sheep, he speaks of this woman that has silver. She has 10 pieces, and she loses one. She has 9 in possession, and she turns on a light, and she goes to great extreme to find the one. And then he speaks about the sons. And he speaks really about two. Although we usually focus on one, and that's going to be the one I'm going to look at this morning. But he has two sons, and one is still there with him, and one is away, and one comes back, and the father never left to go find him. You say, preacher, why is that? The father was where he was supposed to be. He was that light shining to where the one would come back. And so, if I was to ask a question today, it's really the question that would sum up everything about what this message is geared to. Why are you here? And some would say, well, preacher, I'm here out of obligation because I'm supposed to be here. Oh, my dear friend, something's wrong. Something's wrong when we come to the house of God and we're wanting to have that fellowship and we're wanting to have that worship and we're wanting to have that time with the Lord and we do it out of an obligation. Something's wrong. Some would say, well, preacher, I've heard of all these that would talk about their children had a drug problem when they were younger. And listen, I've never drugged my children to church, although they know that that's where we're going. Jeremiah couldn't tell you the days off of the church days. He knew that Thursday came after Wednesday because Wednesday was a church day. He knows tomorrow's Monday because today's Sunday, we're going to church. And he knows those. And he knows that on Sunday, we're going 2 times a day. He knows that. He knows on Wednesday that we don't go till the evening. He knows during revivals. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Because he's been taught up. He's been trained up, as the Bible would say. And I think of this account that we have here and how often we look and we would say that I'm here and, I've had to be, or I was made to be, or it's an obligation, or I'm supposed to be. Do we ever think about that we're here because we want to be? You know, one thing that amazes me with the prodigal son is he didn't realize how much he wanted to be with the father until he wasn't with the father. You know, I can tell you even in my younger days that I thought that I wanted something or I wanted to be somewhere. Or I remember I used to be as skinny as Jacob. Did I hear some of you laugh? Yeah. You know, and when I was as skinny as Jacob, the only thing I wanted to be was 200 pounds. 200. It's like, boy, if I could be 200 pounds, no one would push me around. I'm telling you, I'd just go. Even when I was in the military, there I couldn't gain weight. You say, preacher, why is that? Oh, I ate like a horse. I drank Coca-Cola for breakfast. That was after my coffee with as much creamer as I want. If I wanted the foo-foo creamer, I didn't worry about how many calories was in foo-foo creamer. I could have drank the foo-foo creamer right out of the carton. It didn't matter. I was still going to stay at 165, 170 tops. When I went through jump school and I came out of that airplane and I'm just kind of hovering in the air, the black hats are yelling at me, "Get out of my sky! Get out of my sky!" And I'm going, okay. Today, as soon as I got out of that airplane, I would be going zoom straight on down. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Is there not some things that we think that we want until we get them and then we don't want them anymore? There's some places where we thought we wanted to go and then when we get there, it's really not that good. And so I look and I find this account. And so often we get confused and we'd say, well, preacher, I know that the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 2, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. I'm not here out of requirement. And yes, we're to be faithful if we're to be the steward of the Lord. And God expects us to be faithful as His children. Don't get that wrong. But if that's your motive for serving the Lord, then you've got the wrong motive. If that's your motive for living for the Lord, you've got the wrong motive. You see, I'm also reminded that if you love me, keep my commandments. I'm reminded as well about Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 4. If you were to look at verse number 3, Jesus is speaking to them about all of the things that they're doing and everything is exactly right. But in verse number 4, He says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." May I tell you, and I'm not preaching it as a heart condition, but that's really the problem today within our churches. It's a heart condition. Why is it so easy to have churches that leave the truth? Because their heart was not fixed on it. Brother Richard was texting me this morning and he was talking about Isaiah chapter number 5 and Isaiah chapter number 6. And I just kind of started to meditate and started to think about it. And you know, and he was speaking about, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips." And really what that shows, there's some commentators out there that say that Isaiah was a curser. I don't believe that's so. I don't believe that that's what it's speaking about. There's some that'll say that, "Boy, Isaiah had a foul mouth." I don't believe so. Isaiah was already serving the Lord. Isaiah was already saved. But he said, "Woe is me, a man of unclean lips. I live in a country of unclean lips. I look at everything around me." But may I remind you what Jesus taught us about what comes out of our mouth? He said, "From the abundance of the heart proceedeth out of the mouth." It's not that Isaiah was necessarily speaking something wrong. It's not that Isaiah was saying anything out of place. But Isaiah didn't have the right heart to say what he needed to say out of his lips. You see, the prodigal son here that we so often classify as this great waster, and we're going to look at what this shows. He had a heart condition. His love was in the wrong place. Even the elder son, we're going to look at both of these boys today, and even the elder son had a heart condition. Although his heels had never left the property, his heart was not on it. And so I look here at the heart of the son, and we're going to classify this as part one because tonight will be part two. Notice, if you would, his wasting disclosed his heart. His wasting disclosed his heart. Look at verses 12 and 13 with me, if you would, just for get it fresh in your mind. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And so I look here and I find that his wasting disclosed his heart. But before we can really see this disclosure, you're going to have to come and dig a little bit deeper. You see, before he could ever waste it, he felt that it was due him. You know, one thing that I cannot stand is people that think that something's owed to them. Amen. Oh, we have some right. Listen, I'm thankful for the freedom that we have in America. But it's not owed to you. The freedoms that we have, we all have them. And I don't care who you are, where you're from, any the freedoms that we have. Amen? Brother Scooter, if you want a concealed carry license, then that means you had to have a clear background. If you go out there and you just got caught robbing the convenience store, may I tell you what you're not going to get? And it's not going to be because, well, it's owed me. No, you've already messed up. And we've got this idea that even when I mess up, it should be overlooked. Amen. I was trying my best not to preach it this morning, but I'm telling you, I hate thieves. I hate thieves. If there's anyone that I could stomp on and step on, and I'm telling you, it's probably a good thing that I don't catch them because I'm afraid that I'd kill someone over a canoe. And I know that that's petty. And you say, preacher, would you really? I'd sure make them wish they were dead. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not into abuse, but I'm telling you, it wouldn't be abuse if they didn't tell about it. Amen. Woo! And we've got this idea that because it's yours, it can be mine. There's nothing wrong with hard work. Notice what this boy got. He thought it was due him to relationship. He went to his father. What did he say? Father, give me. Now, I'll be honest with you, Jeremiah is at that age, and he says, Daddy, he says, Mama, I want this. And there's even still times at 5 years old that when we tell him no, he thinks that he should still get it. Even at 21 and 25, John and Jacob, and I know Jacob's going to go, Daddy, I don't come to you. Liar. Amen. And even when Daddy says no, at 25 and 21, they go, well, when would it work better? Amen. Why? Because it's new. I'm their dad. And they think that they can come to me and listen, they can. I want to help them. May I tell you that our Heavenly Father wants to help us? In James 1 and verse number 17, it tells us that all good things come from heaven. All good things come from my Father. And you know, He is the same today as He was yesterday. And He wants to bless me today just like He wanted to bless me yesterday. But there's a problem. How many times does our prayer list become a want list? Hold on. I'm not talking about the fact that it's wrong to pray. The Bible tells us, ask and you shall receive. But it goes on, and in James chapter number 4, it says, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that you can consume it of your own lusts. Hold on a second. There's times that we think, well, God owes it to me. Let me explain something to you. He came to the Father, and He's asking the Father to do something that the Father is quite capable of doing. Now, I know, and I'm not preaching this. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you when you think this young man got saved and when you think he's lost. I'm not arguing that with you. I'm not going to argue with you about when you think that if the elder son's saved or lost. That's not my point. What I want to do today is make an application with you in the fact that we get in this very same position. He did not ask of the Father anything that the Father couldn't do. He asked it in the wrong order. Because he's asking for his inheritance before the Father's ever gone. And there were some things I've shared with you before. My shotgun that my grandfather gave me. I think about my tractor that I have. My grandfather had said before he ever died, he said, I want my grandson to have that. I want this grandson to have that. And I'm thankful for that. But you know one thing that I didn't go, when my grandfather was not doing well, I didn't go back to Kansas and go, Grandpa, I want you to give me these things. I didn't do that. It wasn't about that. God can provide everything. You realize that God can... He can still provide for Elijah? Hold on. I know you're going, well, preacher, I mean, really, do we need that? Have you been here this year? I mean, 22. No one that's in this room could have ever expected at the end of 2019 for the events to take place that took place in 2020. But may I tell you that God never quit supplying any of our needs, even during the toilet paper crisis. Amen. And Jacob bought me a bumper sticker that says, I survived the toilet paper crisis of 2020. Amen. Say, preacher, where's that? It's not on my vehicle. It's on my toolbox. Amen. But you think about this. God supplied for Elijah when the drought came, did He not? He told him, He said, son, I'm going to send you down to the brook Cherith, and you're going to get there, and I'm going to send a raven twice a day to feed you. You know what Elijah didn't do? Elijah didn't go, all right, well, the raven sent that he sent, I brought meat and it brought bread, and then he drank from the river. I don't see where Elijah had stockpiled anything away. I know you're going to say, preacher, are you teaching us not stockpile? That's not what I'm saying. But what Elijah had was faith that God was going to send the evening raven. And then in the evening, he had the faith that God was going to send the morning raven. Yeah. Then in the morning, he had the faith that God was going to send. You understand the pattern here? It all comes back to faith. God can. And that same God that supplied for Elijah is the same God that still supplies today. Amen. But may I tell you what God can do to that faucet of supply? Is turn it off or slow it down. May I explain something very quick to you, and I want you to understand this, is that the prodigal son only got what the father divided to him, and it was only a blessing when he was at the father's house. Amen. Because then it went away, did it not? And we're going to look at that. But it went away. May I tell you, God will have... Oh, those blessings that He gives. And that son said it's due because of the relationship. I can go to the Father and say, Father, give me. And I'm thankful as a child of God. I can go to the Father and say, Father, give me. He said, ask, and you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. That's the same promises that we still have today. And he went. And God can. But then I find that he said, as we look deeper here now, we're talking about his wasting disclosed his heart. It was due. He thought it was due because of his relationship. He thought it would be divided by right. Notice what he says here. The portion of goods that falleth to me. He said, I want what's coming to me. May I tell you that if any of us get what we really deserve, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. And so I think about this idea that we have today within our churches is that God owes us. Have you not heard? Any time that there's a storm, any time that there's a catastrophe, any time that there's any kind of tragedy, how could God allow this? May I show you the church today through the Word of God? Look, if you would, over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. We find the Laodicean church, the church age that we're in. These are an actual church now. The church of Laodicea is an actual church, but the application is the seven church ages. And this is the age that we live in. You know, the younger son said that I really don't have need anything from you if you just give me what I have coming to me. You can stay out of the picture, and I'll be fine with what I have. This is what he's saying. This is what his actions are speaking. And notice we find in the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter number 3, look at verse number 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I've told you before that my parents were a whole lot smarter once I turned 25. John's already said how much smarter Mom and I are now that he's 25. Jacob still hasn't seen that. But, you know, I look here at the father, and the younger son says, give unto me what's going to fall unto me. Give me my portion. And that's all I need. I don't need you. I just want my portion. And he thought that with that portion, he no longer needed the father, because he would have everything that he needed. May I tell you that we have nothing without the father? Even with the portion that he gave. Oh, the portion's great as long as I'm at home. The portion's more than enough as long as God's still there. But the moment that you have to go out and live on your own and you no longer have the shelter and the security of the Father, may I tell you that tragedy strikes. And so I look here, and I know you're going to say, preacher, I thought that wasting disclosed his heart. Now you've seen where his heart is, and this is why he thought he needed it. Notice, if you would, the description of riotous living. Notice what he went and did. This is why it discloses his heart. This is why it's so important for us to gather. Because many people today would say, this is not me. If we were to look here at the end of verse number 13, it says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. In fact, we could even say his journey into a far country. You'd say, preacher, we're right here at church. I've preached it before. The prodigal son in the Baptist pew. May I tell you that you never backslide at the house and just automatically, boy, that day you wake up and go, I'm going to backslide. I'm going to quit all the things of God. No, it's gradual. You just begin a little bit at a time. A little less prayer time, a little less Bible time, a little less meditation time, a little more sidetracked, a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more, and then all of a sudden, you're still sitting in a Baptist pew, but your mind and your heart is somewhere else. You say, preacher, that's not me! I'm not out doing riotous living! Let me explain to you the definition of riotous living. Because so often it's misunderstood. Riotous living, to most people, they believe that it means that lewd lifestyle. That, as the elder son had said, he had spent his money on the harlots. It would say, one of the definitions of riotous living would speak of that nightlife, that extravagant nightlife. And boy, they're just out there and they're having a time and they're drunk and they're just partying and reveling. And that would be what we would say, and you'd say, preacher, that's not me. So therefore, I cannot be that man. Well, let me give you the real definition from the Bible. If you were to look up that word riotous living, it's not just speaking about a lewd lifestyle that, by the way, is widely accepted today. There's many churches that would say that lifestyle is acceptable. As long as you're still giving the offering plate, I don't care how you live. This church is a little bit different. I don't care if you give in the offering plate as long as you live for the Lord. Because if you live for the Lord, the rest of it all falls in place. Amen. To describe, by the way, the word prodigal is not in the Bible. Prodigal means waster. And we find here that he wasted his substance with riotous living. Well, what is that riotous living? If you're to look it up in the concordance, you would find that it means profligate. Now you're going to go, preacher, what in the world is profligate? I'm glad you asked. It simply means given to or characterized by reckless waste, widely extravagant. Do Do you remember roll-up windows on cars? Remember when that was the norm? And now we've came to the place that we can't do this. Jacob, your truck still has this, doesn't it? He said, preacher, what are you getting at? You know, it used to be, and it's pretty common now on most vehicles that they all have the little, you know, you got to buy a switch when that goes out or a motor. And if you buy a motor, now you've got to buy the regulator for the window too, because the cable, you want to talk about a bear, it will eat you up. It is not fun to change out a window regulator. So what are you getting at? What this man did was said, it flashes. It's funny. I think about Brother John Mills. I was venting to him the other day, kind of getting on about all these that wear their cuff links and they're shiny. It bothers me, Brother Richard. I was even thinking about it this morning. You know, there's some organizations out there. I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptist organizations out there that certain events that they have, they'll make CDs and videos of them. And then they'll charge you. Allie, they have a week-long revival session. And I mean, it's got a Sunday morning. Or I'm sorry, it's got a Monday morning, Monday night. Then it's got a Monday or Tuesday morning, a Tuesday afternoon, a Tuesday night, and so on through the rest of the week. And then by Friday night, boy, you say, preacher, that'd be great. And then they charge believers money for it. I'm not talking about $10 so that you can get another CD made. I'm talking hundreds. You say, what are you getting at? They're the same ones that they're professional. Brother, I don't know if you realize this. This is not gold. It's platinum. It costs more. In fact, if I was to leave it outside, it'd probably rust. I'm surprised it's not green. I guess that's because it's not touching my skin. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? You know what he wasted his substance on? Things he really didn't need. You know what we've done? We've found things that we really don't need. And Satan said, this is how I can get them. And he's got their heart to where they're more focused on the things that they really don't need, that's really not going to help them. It's really not going to benefit them. I'm not saying about things you need. Listen to me, you need a home. And I don't think that your home, you need to have to hold the shingles down when the wind blows. You know? I believe that, hey, God wants you to live in, He takes care. I understand that I'm to live humbly. And there's a whole lot that believe preachers are supposed to live really humble. But listen to me. I don't believe that I should wear holy pants or holy shirts. You say, what are you getting at? I mean, I thought all things were to be holy. No, I'm talking about holes in them. Because I don't want people to look and say, well, your God can't even give you clothes that aren't damaged. Amen. Hey, I'm thankful my God provides everything. And I want to give Him credit for it. But how many times do we say we need more? And it's of the things that we really don't need. You know what he did is he wasted his entire substance on things he really didn't need. Huh. You say, what's that have to do with anything? It shows his heart. It shows his heart. It flashed. It caught his attention. You ever open up a bird's nest? I'm not talking about with eggs in it. But you ever go out and find a bird's nest and find all the things that they use to make the nest? Most birds will use anything that they can find. But there's some birds that like it to be shiny. And you'll find a whole lot more brighter colors, a whole lot more shiny items, just weaved in and out. Well, why? They needed the thing. You know, the one that made it with just sticks held up just as good as the ones with all the shiny string. Amen. And so I look here at his wasting disclosed his heart. But notice this. Is God saying that we can't have? And I do wonder how many times that God's given us and we waste our time. Hold on. Extravagant. How many times have we wasted our time, and yet the Word of God tells us redeeming the time for the days are evil? How many times do we look and we give Satan a place? I'm talking about the extravagant. He says neither give him a place. Don't give him a place in time, because he'll consume it. Listen, we're in the days of social media. How many times have you sat down thinking that you're just going to look at something, and an hour later, you're like, I've really got to quit doing this, but just one more thing. Amen? I mean, honestly, it's nice to have everything on your phone and go, hey, I can find anything that I need to find. But I'm telling you that finding anything that you need to find, you'll find a lot of things you don't need to find. Amen? I wonder how many times we waste our talent. I know you say, preacher, we don't have a choir right now. You don't have a whole lot of music going. You don't have this. You don't have that. I'm telling you, most people in here, we're all Baptists. There's two things that we like. We like to eat and we like to talk. We're given with the gift of gab, and yet we tell very few people about the Lord. How many times do we waste our treasures? I'm not talking about the offering plate. I'm talking about what God's given you. There's a purpose He's given it to you for. And it's not to waste it in this world. And so I look here and I find that he wasted, or his wasting disclosed his heart. Notice as well we find that his wanting disturbed his heart. Look on down into verse 14 through 16. And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now he really wanted something, didn't he? Now he was really going, I don't have anything. Notice this. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And so I look here and I find his wanting disturbed his heart. First is the priority of goods. Now he knew what priority was, didn't he? Now he was beginning. His portion of goods ran dry. God had shut the valve. God didn't supply anything else. There was no ravens coming over to feed him some meat and bread. There was no brook to drink out of. There was nothing happening in his life from the Lord. You say, preacher, it's because he was lost. Let me remind you that God, the blessings that this lost world has is still from God. Amen. Bible teaches us that the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and it rains on the just and the unjust. I'm telling you, all of these worthless people that say that there is no God, may I tell you, they're still blessed by the one that they curse. You can't tell me that that's because he's lost. He was a son when he left. May I tell you, if he's a son when he left, he was a son when he was gone, and he was a son when he came back. Just a thought there. And so I look here and I find that his portions had dried up. The Bible tells us here he spent all. Psalm 62 and verse number 10, the Bible says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. How many times do we see the opportunity and we seek gain and we get greedy of gain? And we say, boy, it'll make it. It'll work. I can do this. And so I look here and I find that his wanting begin to disturb him. Those priorities that he had when he was at the Father's house are no longer a priority now. Those goods that he had are no longer any good to him, because they're gone. And so I find the procuring of give me. You remember when he was at the Father's house what he said? Father, give me. May I tell you what he just did? He came to the end of give me. May I remind you of a passage of Scripture? It goes something like this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. May I tell you what he's doing? He's reaping what he sowed. May I tell you what every one of us is going to do? We're going to reap what we sow. He did not invest what was given to him. He wasted it. And now he's came to the place where give me came to the end of the road. Because he can't get it anymore. I wonder how many times we see in that land. Did you notice that in verse number 14? It tells us here, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Now, I'm going to preach something that's not like to be preached a whole lot. People don't like to hear it, and preachers don't like to preach it, but it is a Bible fact. Is God will bring you to the end of the road on purpose. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. Amen. If you're not chastened, may I tell you, the Bible says that it might be because you're a bastard. I'm not trying to be ugly, but that is a Bible word. And he said that you're not my child. If I love you, I'm going to chasten you. And he loved that son. And that son came to the end. And may I tell you that if he would have never went into that land, that famine wouldn't have been in his life. There was no famine at the father's house. Hello? I've watched people today that they come up and they say, well, preacher, you know, things are so hard and things are so tough. I remember, you're going to have to forgive me because I remember the account, but I don't remember which preacher it was. It was either Lester Roloff or John R. Rice that would always say that I would not counsel anyone until they had went to the four counselings that I'd given during the week. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And then he would seek counseling. I remember that he had talked that there was a line that would line up. And folks would come up to him and they'd say, boy, I'm having financial problems. You tithing? Nope. Start tithing. I'm having marriage problems. You faithful to the house of God? Nope. Get faithful to the house of God. Listen to me. We are our own worst enemies. We are the reason that we're in the position that we're in. And I know you're going to say, preacher, I didn't cause this. May I tell you that many times the seed takes longer to grow than we expect. We think that we've already covered that. We think that we're already through that. And we look back and go, I see that was me. I see that was caused by me. And so I find here that it took him further than he thought he would ever go. Cost him more than he thought he'd ever pay. The Bible teaches us, of course, we know that Jesus is giving this. He would give it in the account of a Jewish man. This Jewish man is with the swine that were unclean. They were not for the Jewish people to go around, not touch the carcass of, not be in the vicinity of, and yet he's feeding them. And the Bible tells us that he fain would have filled his belly. Let me explain this word to you. So often we just look and we'd say, well, you know, he would have eaten what the pig eat. No, that word feign's important in here. I'm thankful I have the King James Bible and it still means it's God's Word. Yeah. Amen. It's supposed to be there. The reason is feign means gladly. He would have gladly ate that. In fact, you could go a little bit deeper with joy or pleasure. Now, listen, we don't have pigs yet. I do plan on getting some later down the road, but we don't have pigs yet, but we got chickens. And may I tell you, chickens will eat anything. I did find there's some things you're not supposed to feed them. I didn't know that. We just feed them. And we have, right by the sink, a slop bowl. You say, preacher, what's it got in it, slop? It means stuff that we've discarded. The cuttings off of vegetables, and then it goes to whatever we ate, and we didn't eat it all. I'm telling you, chickens have eaten chicken nuggets more than you can count. You say, preacher, will they do that? Absolutely. Jeremiah doesn't eat all of them. Guess what? They go in the chicken slop. They eat them. You know, I have never, when I take that bowl out and I throw it out there in that chicken pen, that chicken coop, I've never thought, let me just get a bite of that before I throw it out. I've never thought that. I mean, it didn't even cross my mind. Jacob, if you'd like some, I think that we've got some to throw out this afternoon. I know. You go, yeah, all right, that's slop. May I tell you how twisted sin will make your mind? He's in such a position that he would have gladly, with pleasure, would have eaten what he was feeding the pigs. Because wanting will disturb your heart. If you come to the place where you see the hand of God is not on you, oh, my dear friend, it better disturb your heart. So many people look at it as a blessing. But may I tell you, many times the blessings sink the ships. I can't tell you how many I've seen in the 14 years of my pastorate here. That families will come and then they'll leave. I know you can say, preacher, it's because you're so mean. You know, I'd believe that if they went somewhere, but they don't. I remember one family in particular that I had went out and we were in visitation in that area, and I knew where they lived, and we had went and visited them many times, and always got the same, boy, you know, we've got to work, and we've got to do this, and now we've got to work on Sundays, and we've got this, and we've got that, and we've got this, and we've got that, and boy, just can't do it. Well, the last time that I knocked on their door, I realized that they didn't need me to come by and knock on their door anymore. And I know you're going to say, preacher, that's awful mean. Well, pray for me. Sometimes I'm mean like that. I knocked on their door, and the husband explained to me how blessed they were. They've got new vehicles. They've got four-wheelers. They've got this. They've got a boat. They've got everything in the world that they need. Because God's blessed them. May I tell you, that wasn't from God. You needed to work on Sundays so that you could get all the blessings from God. Listen to me. When God blesses you and it keeps you from what God wants you to do and be faithful where God wants you to be faithful, may I tell you, it's not God administering the blessing. Amen. And this young man began to see that he was really in want. And the ship began to sink. I think about Peter and John and Andrew and James as they were out there and they had toiled all night long. And Jesus was there on the shore. And He had said, "Have you caught anything?" And they said, "No, nothing." And James and John were already on the bank. And Jesus had told Peter and Andrew, cast it on the other side. And so they cast on the right side. And when they cast it in, they pulled up so much that their ship began to sink. They called out for James and John to come in. And then both boats began to sink. Listen to me. You don't think God can bless you to where you see how much you really need Him and want less from this world? Notice if you would. There was a problem. Their procuring of give me came to that place, but there was a problem of the group that he joined with. This world is not your friend. Caleb, if there's anything I can tell you, young man, there would be the same words that Solomon told his boys in Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I'm telling you, they're not your friend. It's not the fact that you're going to join up with them. In fact, when you get down on your back, when you get down in the pig pen, you're going to end up hopeless. And they're not going to help you one little bit. I can see this young man. Listen to me, Brother Stephen. I've never went to some of the fancy places that you all weavers can go. I couldn't afford it, nor would I want to. But I've never went, but I can see this young man going, "Hey, how about you come with me? We're going to go to Chick-fil-A and I'll buy your meal." I say, "Preacher, I mean, why Chick-fil-A? I had to bring it on something I knew." Amen. We can't go today, though. It's Sunday. All right? They still believe in closing on Sundays. Amen. Can't go to Hobby Lobby either. They close on Sundays, too. Amen. I'm working on sponsorship. Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A. Amen. But listen. Don't you see this young man doing that? I'll buy. Brother, you come on and I'll buy. Don't worry about it. Let's go on a vacation and I'll pay for it. We're going to do this and I'll pay for it. And then when he had nothing left, they weren't there either. That's how the world works, is it not? The Bible teaches us in John chapter number 15 and verse 18, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you." May I tell you, it's very possible this next year that we're going to see how much the world really hates those that really stand? It's very possible. I'm not trying to predict something. I'm not trying to bring something up that's not. But I'm telling you, you're going to find out when you stand with God, you're standing against the world. Oh, may I remind you something? That they were not His friends when He was at the Father's house?
Yeah.
Amen. Why is that? Well, because the Bible teaches us that friendship of the world is enmity with God. Amen. They weren't His friends when He was at the Father's house. He wasn't looking for them. And so I find that His want disturbed His heart. But then I go on and I find that His welcome dedicated His heart. His welcome dedicated His heart. Notice this. I look here at verse number 17 through 19. He says, and when He came to Himself, He said, how many hired servants of my father's house, fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. May I tell you, he recognized his fault. He recognized. Proof right here that the prodigal son is not Baptist. He recognized his fault. Take your Bibles, if you would, just for time's sake. Turn over the book of 2 Corinthians, or 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Let me preach this a minute. I know I'm getting long. Bear with me. I'll hurry. In 2 Kings chapter number 6 is where I want you to turn. You know where we are today? And this is really worldwide. Kind of goes back to what I said last week. I think it'd be great. I don't know how to do it, and I don't know the voices. I guess I need to get on YouTube, do something crazy, and get people to listen to me. But it would be great if politicians couldn't say anything against their opponent. I think that'd be wonderful. I really do. I'm tired of hearing... Oh, by the way, I looked up fraudulent voting, fraudulent election, you know, issues. And did you know that it's not illegal to say something false about your opponent? That's not illegal. Now, I would think that would be slander or libel, either way you want to look at it, but it's not illegal to do. Oh, and it's not also illegal to say anything false about yourself. Don't you think we should look at changing some of that? Don't you think that, I mean, honestly, you mean I can lie and it's okay. So when I get in office, I'm not going to lie to you. I see that. There's one thing you'll never hear out of Washington. I was wrong. You're never going to hear. No, what you're going to hear is this side's going to say that this side's wrong, and this side's going to say that this side's wrong, and so therefore none of them are wrong. No, they're right. No. But that is where we are today. May I tell you, so often in our relationship with the Lord, those that don't know, Jonathan had given us a canoe at the... Oh, he... I don't remember how long he worked for that canoe. And it was when the old Alco was still in business. And he had it ordered. He had seen it in their sales paper. And he had it ordered. And he'd go up there. It was supposed to be 10 days. And so he went up there at the end of 10 days. And he'd ask someone, nope, it's not here. Nope, it hadn't came in yet. And so 10 days later, he'd come back and, you know, is it here yet? That went on for a year. Oh, no, well, you know, and he had a rain check and, you know. Well, when they were closing, lo and behold, you know what they found? A canoe that he was waiting on forever. And so he went and got it. I think he got it a little bit cheaper than what the sale was because they were closing. Amen. And he didn't use it. He didn't like to use it by himself. It was definitely a two-man canoe. And he gave it to us, and we put it out there. In fact, Brother Duke and Jacob had went down to the to the their cabins when the river was all flooded. They went down the ditch, Lewis and Clark going down the ditch to see how bad the damage was down there while the river was flooded early this year. And we just left it, and we had turned it upside down so it wouldn't get rain in it, and we had tied it to a tree so that if it did flood, it's not going away. And, I do have a trail camera up, but it's for four-legged varmints down there where I think that they're going to be, not the two-legged that come in and decide that they want something that you have. And they had came and stole it sometime either early Friday morning it was after the rain Thursday because it was dry right there where the canoe was. And the sorry rascals even stole the rope. I guess they're going to need to tie it up too. But, you know, there comes a point where you go, it was by the road to where they could have seen. Not, I'm telling you, it was on our property, but it was to where you could see it from the road. And heaven forbid, I got a gate and it's locked. You know, maybe I shouldn't have had it there. Or maybe I should have chained it instead of just a rope. No, hold on a second. Wait a moment. It was on my property, in my locked property, and tied up to my tree. Praise God it was mine. And you know what we need to do as believers? Take responsibility of it's our fault. Them stealing my canoe is not my fault. The one who stole it is to be at blame. Or the ones, because I don't think it was just one. I think there was two rats. Amen. But we have this idea that it's not our fault, Lord. Is that not what Adam did with Eve and God? God, you know, I wouldn't have ate of that forbidden fruit, that tree of knowledge of good and evil, if it wasn't for that woman you gave me. We want to cast the eyes off of us and go, it's my wife's fault. And then she goes, do you not see our boys? No. No, Eve blamed the serpent. Was it not? And so Eve automatically goes, well, it's not my fault either. You're the one that created the serpent. You know what the boy said? He said, I've sinned. He recognized his fault. It wasn't the preacher to blame. It wasn't the church to blame. It was his own fault that he was in the condition where he was. It was his own sin. And so I look over at the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 6 and verse number 4. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 4. I got a few verses I want to give you here. Of course, this is when Elisha had went with the prophets, and they were building a bigger area there for them. It was too straight for them in verse number 1, and so they're building a bigger one. They had asked Elisha to go with them. He said, I'll go. And so they're going and they're building. Look at verse 4. And so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. And therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. May I tell you what needs to take place today is for us to identify where we became a great waster. And say, preacher, this is where it was. And the preacher said, go back to that place and fix that problem right there. And that's where the axe head's going to float up. And then you're going to take it and you're going to be able to go back to cutting wood again. Oh, we've got this idea that said it's not really my fault. It's not really that bad. May I tell you that every single one of us in this room, we know exactly where we failed the Lord and that we can go right back to that place where we quit cutting as good. No, listen to me. You don't have to. You ever hit a tree to chop on it with just the handle? Gives you a little bit of vibration coming down. And you can look just as stupid as can be, too. I'm serious. I mean, I could see if Jonathan was wanting to build him a dresser, amen. But that's another story for another day. But you know, you're there with an